Following the election, writer and journalism professor Fernanda Santos wrote an article about the term Latino vote for the Washington Post. In it, Santos explains where both campaigns went wrong when trying to capture the so-called Latino vote and what can be done to harness the power of voters who are Latino in future elections. Santos spoke with WUWM's Angelina Moshe Salazar about her article.
Last week, you published an article in the Washington Post where you say, right there in the opening line, it was hard to keep a straight face Tuesday night, which, you know, we all know was election night, as one pundit after another fretted about the surprising levels of support for President Trump among Latino voters. And your reaction resonated with many Latinos and Latino journalists. Why do you think that is?
What I ask you to think about and your listeners to think about is, imagine if for 30 minutes or for an entire segment on cable television, you were hearing political pundits talk about the white vote. Why did white people vote this way? Do you think there's a trend in the way white people are voting these days? You know, white people voted for Joe Biden this time. Do you think that the Democrats are now the dominant force among white voters? And we obviously don't do that, right? Because we accept and we understand that there is no such thing as a white voter. There are voters who are white. There are voters who are working class. There are voters who are college educated, et cetera, et cetera. But for some reason, we believe that the term Latino voters can explain and encompass every voter who happens to be Latino. And that is a hugely diverse population, hugely diverse. There is a little bit of everybody and everything within this group. So when I was writing this piece, that was the first thing that came to mind was my disgust at the fact that there were all these people talking about Latino voters without truly understanding what it means to be a Latino who votes.
So is it time to reimagine the way we talk about the Latino electorate? And in doing so, does that mean that we now abolish this problematic term, Latino voters?
Yes. Abolish Latino voters. Abolish the sleeping giant. You know, abolish all these phrases that we hear again and again and again every election season, and that serve to explain why a result went one way or it didn't go one way. You know, so I don't mind if you say voters who are Latino were more likely to vote for President Trump than Joe Biden. But if you're saying Latino voters, then I'm going to say you are assuming that we all vote the same way, that we are all a single block, you know, and it's been that way for as long as I can remember, mostly because while us Latinos can see the differences amongst ourselves, the people who created the label Latino voters, essentially white people, outsiders, people who are not part of this cohort to explain this rising demographic group, have a very hard time understanding that this rising demographic group is in reality a group of Americans who have Latino heritage or who were born in Latin America and then gained citizenship in the United States. That was the case with me. I'm from Brazil. I came here, married an American citizen, became an American citizen. Therefore, I am now an American of Latino descent. So when we vote, we're all Americans. As Americans, we represent various different groups, have various different histories, live very different realities. And this is how everybody, reporters, journalists, and just, you know, your neighbor should approach the choices that people make or don't make every election season.
Yes, of course. I mean, you bring up a very good point, Fernanda, that all of us as individuals encompass various identities, right? Like you just said yourself, I'm an American, I'm Brazilian, I'm a woman, I'm an immigrant. So tell me, Fernanda, which identity do you use to go to the polls?
I use all of them. And the way I make my choices is based on what the candidates are telling me. I think that for a lot of us who come from Latin America, what is politics is a lot about the issues, the topics, the platform that the candidates have. Are they speaking my language, so to speak? You know, are they, and I'm not talking about those like, you know, Spanish language radio ads. I'm talking about, are they speaking about issues that matter to me? In Brazil, I don't remember ever voting, saying I'm going to vote for a candidate of this or that party. I would say I'm voting for this person because he's speaking about the stuff that matters to me. And I think a lot of Latinos vote that way because that's how they were sort of raised in the world of politics. And that's very difficult in a country like the United States, where politics is so closely associated with Democratic or Republican, to the point that in certain states like Arizona, where I live, you have to be registered to a party even to be able to vote in the primaries. So there's no such thing as, you know, not being registered to a party, but also wanting to vote. I mean, these two thoughts are incompatible. So I bring all my identities to the polls, and I go after the people who are speaking about topics that matter to me in ways that I think are important to me.
Every 4 years or so, when political parties are vying for this quote-unquote Latino vote, there is some semblance of this very conversation that you and I are having right now, right? Where there's like all of this hand-wringing about how campaigns missed the mark, you know, their messaging was off. And you write in your piece that Arizona clearly demonstrates what political campaigns are doing wrong and what actually can be a right way to harness the power of Latino voters. So tell us what you observed.
Well, you know, it's the when people say shop local, that applies to politics too. In Arizona, you have to understand what happened this year. You have to really go back maybe about 10 years or more, 15 years, back to 2006 or 2003 even, when the state passed voters in the state passed a measure that made English the only instructional language allowed in schools. So if you came from, a Spanish-speaking household, there was no instruction in Spanish for your child in that school, in any public school in the state. Then we had 2006, another measure approved by voters that made in-state tuition illegal for undocumented immigrants. So if you lived in Arizona but you were undocumented, you would have to pay out-of-state tuition in state colleges and universities, which of course means paying a lot more money for your education, and led a lot of them to drop out of college, not even consider going to college, right? So there is a history here of the political machine and the white majority of voters passing measures to suppress the rise of the Latino population in the state. The state of Arizona is about 33% Latino today. And of course, we have Sheriff Joe Arpaio, who came to personify all of these policies, all of these laws in the state of Arizona that were built to subjugate its rising Latino residents. So in the rise of Arpaio, the counterpoint to that rise was the rise of this resistance movement. I think that's the best way to describe them, where children of immigrants and immigrants themselves organized and started asking themselves first, why is this happening to us? How can we fight against it? And the best way was to fight the American way. They fought by going to the polls and voting. But then they went beyond that. They have established connections with the community. They have established relationships with voters. So over time, it wasn't like when campaigns come, they come like a few months before the election, they do some get out the voter registration drives, get out the vote efforts, and then they leave. These local groups, they have been working with the community communities to educate them, to get them involved in the schools where and the neighborhoods where they live in, to make them truly understand that they can be part of the change. So what happened was the result of years of hard work by these groups. And what a lot of campaigns have to learn is that if you really want to be allied with a certain group or another, you should put in the work, you should put in the time, and you should make them feel that they matter, that their perspective matter, that you don't really just need to use them when they are useful to you, that they are useful to you all the time because they are also part of who you are. So is the Democratic Party an inclusive party? Is the Republican Party an inclusive party? And how do you show that inclusivity? Is by creating connections and ties to the community. And that's something that a lot of the grassroots groups here in Arizona have been able to do.
So what do you think is the takeaway here? What lessons can the media, political pundits, and campaigns learn from years of erroneously talking about Latino voters as a monolithic voting bloc? I mean, as the United States becomes increasingly more diverse across racial and ethnic lines.
We need to stop thinking of these terms, Latino or Black or Asian American or Native American, as defining of entire populations. Latino does not define me. It's part of who I am. That does not define you either, right? A Black person is Black, but also many other things, because there is this stereotypical or preconceived notion of what a Latino is or isn't like, of what a Black person is or isn't like, of what an Asian American is and isn't like. Even this term Asian American, gosh, Asia is such a huge continent with so many countries that are so different. It's demeaning, and it's trying to squeeze a square into a circle. You know, you just can't do that. So let's stop using these labels as that condition ourselves to think of them as defining of an entire group, as if they were all the same. And let's use the label to just and accept it as one characteristic of a diverse group of Americans that happen to have different ethnicities, different races, different countries of origin, different histories, different levels of education, different socioeconomic status, and on and on and on, right? And let's just accept that we are now dealing with Americans. And how do American votes, where it depends on where they live, what they are doing at that moment in their lives, how things are going for them, etc. So forget these terms as defining of all of us, and start thinking of us as individuals. And you can think of how my Latino heritage, or my the fact that I am from Latin America, I was actually born there, helps define who I am. But don't think that because I am Latina, you have figured me out, because you haven't.
Fernanda, thank you so much for speaking with me.
It was great to talk to you, Angelina.
Fernanda Santos is a writer and journalism professor at Arizona State University. She spoke with WUWM's Angelina Mosher Salazar about her recent article published in the Washington Post on Latino voters.